Good morning and welcome to our Capital Call. It is 9:30 right on the nose, brought to you by Phillips 66. Let's go ahead and take roll call. First of all, Senator Julie Daniels, are you in with us today?
I certainly am. Good morning, Bartlesville.
All righty. Daryl Fincher?
I am here. Good morning.
And I know Judd was trying to find the phone number, so Judd, are you aboard?
I'm here. I'm home, rather, with you.
You're everywhere, man. You're everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, today, again, a whole new world with the COVID-19, and I'm going to open this up with, I understand that the governor is calling, session on Monday, Senator Daniels, in order to get his... I want a little bit more of an understanding of this executive order and try to put some more power to it.
Good morning. Yes. In 2003, the legislature passed a statute. It's called a catastrophic health emergency, which gives the governor authority to do some things he wouldn't normally do. Mm-hmm. He has accomplished most of these with his amended executive orders to date. But they decided to go ahead and activate this statute. I think has a little bit to do with his flexibility with using the National Guard and a couple of other things. I think he listed four. None of them terribly monumental. I mean, we've really been in a state of emergency since he issued the first executive order. But this statute is oddly written. It requires the legislature to come in at 8 a.m. the second day after the order is issued, and either vote to concur with his catastrophic health emergency announcement or terminate it. And there was a lot of talk about the Constitution provides for how we go in and out of special session. And so this is a statute telling you to do this. But we're gonna follow the statute, and then we have the authority to come back at any time and terminate the governor's catastrophic health emergency. But I believe next week we're all happy to concur with it. And so we will go in at least to do that. There's a possibility there might be something to do with the existing 1920 budget, but that's up in the air right now.
I want to go to Representative Judd Strom. A lot of things have been done remotely and by proxy. This is going to be an in-person thing for members of the House, correct?
It will be an in-person thing, and, you know, we voted before we left to allow a proxy vote, which is the first time in history in Oklahoma we've been able to do that, and we have not used that. Everything that has happened since this emergency has started has been an executive order from the governor's office. He's been given that power to do that. We have been working remotely on budget numbers, trying to figure out what we have, what we can spend, what we need to plan for. We've all kept in really constant contact through email, through phone calls, through group chats, Zoom meetings, Google meetings. We've just tried to work out, you know, what it is that we're going to have for prioritized legislation to be able to get through. So it will be interesting to be back in the building. And, of course, when we do go in the building, there will be incredible health concerns, you know, for each of our legislators, and they have put together a plan. I mean, we will listen from our offices. There won't be more than four people to start with on the floor that will be running the floor, and then we will go in small groups to vote. I don't know if that'll be, you know, by how we're spread out on the floor or age or height or how they're going to do that yet, but we will go in small groups. We will try to quarantine away from each other while we're in the Capitol. But I do think it's important that we do this, that the legislature does play some part in this to agree or disagree with the governor's actions. And like the senator said, I think that everyone that's going back to the Capitol is going to agree to concur and allow him to maintain his current course.
Daryl Fincher, we start like a new page in education starting Monday with distance learning. What have you been hearing from educators? What have you been hearing from constituents about this this new phase we're in when it comes to teaching and learning?
I think one of the first of all, educators have been stepping up. It's like, we got to do this. We're going to do this. We're doing this. It's not like people are hesitating and saying, well, gee, if we just do X, Y, or Z. Everybody's jumped right in. They're working very hard. We had a meeting with Bartlesville this morning, public schools, and Superintendent McCauley and some of the admin and staff and board members, and they're doing a great job with how they're approaching this and bringing it all together. And fortunately, they were actually further along than many other school districts in being able to do this. A couple of the challenges, of course, is how do you handle the younger kids? They're going to be doing more with packets with those. The second is how long does school go? And so they're going to be, you know, they're still intent on following their plan, but they will be evaluating this as time goes on. The third is, what if you need connectivity? Very early on, they took steps to go out and actually buy and get a 250 hotspots, basically their Wi-Fi, you know, hotspots that connect to the phone system, the internet, through your Wi-Fi, through the wireless system, and they're able to actually, they'll distribute those first to staff members who have to do essential functions from home. That's only a few. Then they're working on getting them out to students after they do a survey of who all they need them. It's going to change what they're doing on the, you know, if you look on the positive side, and because we know we're going to get through this, is it also helps us look at what the future is going to look like for education. They're going to be stronger in their virtual programs for people who want to do that. They're going to be much better able to, if you have an inclement weather day, to immediately go to an at-home environment. So these are all things that they'll be working through. And so it's not all negative.
It sounds like we could come out a little bit smarter, a little bit wiser, and learn a lot of different things with a lot of areas besides education. I think business is learning a few things too as this you know, keeps going on, and as this lingers, I guess, now for till the end of the month. Senator Daniels, what are you hearing from the business people in our district as far as the changes that have taken place? Are they adapting okay? Have you heard anything to the contrary?
Well, I just want to say my heart goes out to absolutely everybody who's had to shut their business, and as a result, people have lost their jobs. Oh. These are most of the conversations I'm having, and it's very frustrating as a legislator to not be able to do more to resolve individual problems. Now, the best I can do right now is keep you up to date with information.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gratified that now that the Paycheck Protection Act rules are rolling out, they should be with the banks today. I've already noticed emails coming from my own bank about they're getting ready to handle this. This means there's a lot more consistent information. I mean, I keep updating things on my Facebook pages, Julie Daniels or Senator Julie Daniels, but I noticed that the things I may have posted 48 hours ago are somewhat different than what I first explained. So apologies for any mistakes we are making in communication, but these things are happening so fast that I'm gratified now that there's more than just little old me and a few people in government trying to get this information out now. We actually now have the banks with the information to be able to help folks. I know our local chamber is doing a wonderful job, and they've actually opened up some of their information to non-members. I encourage you to call the chamber and find out how you can get this information. But these paycheck protection loans, which for the most part will be forgiven and become grants, will take you through 60 days of maintaining your payroll, keeping your employees employed. Yeah, there are lots of iterations to it, but I strongly encourage people to read a variety of sources, because that's the way I put together a fuller picture. And before I hand off to my colleagues, if you're self-employed or an independent contractor, you are included, but your rules and procedures are coming later. I had a lady yesterday very frustrated. She could not sign on for unemployment with the Oklahoma Employment Securities Commission. That's because they are waiting on the feds to give them the guidance how to handle the independent contractors, and then they have to adjust their IT system to be able to process those applications. So a lot of this is procedural, and the feds giving instructions to the states, and the state employment securities groups having to adjust IT. Sometimes your IT is not as up to date as you would like it to be. None of this helps people listening to me today saying, I lost my job, I need money now. So the best I can do is explain to you why things are slower happening than we would like them to be.
Very good. Thank you, Senator. Representative Strom, you represent a district that has a farmers and ranchers, a lot of those small businesses too. Have they been asking a lot of questions about this Paycheck Protection Plan and how it pertains to them?
Not particularly Paycheck Protection Plan as much. I think the greatest concern right now with the farmers and ranchers are prices coming out, you know, cattle prices and commodity prices. And I hope to see this turn around as we move into this, oil prices come around and come back and our commodity prices go up. We'll solve a lot of those problems. Now, they, too, like Senator Daniel said, if you are a 1099 filer, if you are running cattle, if you file as an independent, as a small business owner, there is help there for farmers and ranchers and agriculture and people because you are a small business owner. And so we want to help those people and we want to get them through this just like any other business. And they have the same ability to get help from the federal and the state government.
The last time we spoke, go ahead.
Throw something in there on that. And this was Representative Strom and I, you know, we talked to different people. I know there's been an issue about these loans being available to agribusiness, but not necessarily to all farming and ranching operations. I know that Mullen and Lankford are working on this. The three of us are in numerous teleconferences during the week with our federal officials. God bless them for keeping us in the loop. But I know there's been an issue on the ag side, and I wish I had more specific information, but I know I've referred a couple of local ranchers on up to our federal elected officials to try and get clarity. It may be that they are trying to add in some of these farming ranching operations into the definition, but that's, I know, just enough to be dangerous and be wrong. But I know that has been an issue for folks out there in that line of work.
Daryl, do you have anything?
The problem we had was a lot of these farmers and ranchers would go to the USDA or the Department of Agriculture to get assistance. Well, the USDA is not set up to disperse funds as our SBA, our small business lenders are. And so that is one thing they're trying to do is to group those in as a small business so that any ag-related business could go and follow the same path and be able to get the same benefits that any other small business would. Now, they're working on that. In the coming weeks, I know it seems like we've been in this deal for months, but we've just been in this deal for a few weeks, and I hope to see very soon in the coming couple of weeks we'll actually be able to get these definitions aligned a little more to help the people as far as what is a small business and who is a paid employee, who's a 1099 employee, who's self-employed. So we will be able to get those people helped here in the coming weeks.
Daryl Fincher, I want to get your thoughts on this and also some other things that might be brewing that seem to be taking a back seat to COVID-19 as you work with your colleagues in the House.
Okay, well, first, things are moving very fast. I actually got a copy of the PPP, the 3P program, Paycheck Protection Program application, sent to me just shortly before we went on the air, just a few minutes before. Second thing is I do encourage people to look at our Facebook pages. My daily update is up there, or it's almost posted during the show to go to our websites to look at that. People are all working together to make sure that this happens. Nobody's sitting around just trying to make it happen. There's a lot of moving parts. We're going to make it, and we're going to get through that. One of the challenges that we're having at the legislative level, of course, is we've got to get the budget done, and that's actually not one bill. It's a bunch of bills. They're still working on the budget. I think they're getting close, but it's not going to be ready quite for next week. By the way, people can tune in and watch. It's going to be pretty boring watching because at the most you'll only have 8 people in the chamber, 10 people. But during most of it, you'll only have the pro tem in the seat and the parliamentarian on the dais. Dais staff will be working remotely. And then you'll just have the majority leader, the floor leader, and the minority leader on the floor doing the presentations. They will leave when other people come in. So part of it is a lot of the legislation that we have, the various committees are going through legislation, looking at the things that are absolutely essential and have to be done. Because we don't anticipate that we'll be carrying all the legislation forward. Those are the biggest things that are going on right now.
I want to thank you all for being a part of the group today. And any last words? We'll start with Judd. Anything you'd like to say in parting?
I want to say, you know, a lot of people, it just has to do with the Oklahoma standards and our neighbors around here. I get a lot of calls, you know, that say, you know, I need help. But far and wide, I've received more calls that say, how can I help? And that has been just incredible. We have citizens that are out there making masks for healthcare professionals. We have people that are volunteering their time to make sure that kids that wouldn't get food will get food. Our educators have just had to make a dramatic change in how they do their job, and they have absolutely stepped up to the task and have just done. I can't say enough about Chuck McCauley in the Bartlesville school system and all of my school systems. I have seven different school systems in my district, and they've just done a phenomenal job. It's just been amazing to see.
Senator Daniels?
Yes, thank you. So do keep calling. Sometimes what we're doing in the Senate, in order to have to stop 48 senators calling the Department of Health with the same question, we have point people assigned to different agencies, health and hospital healthcare authority, OESC. And so we are funneling as senators our requests from our constituents through one person. And what we're getting back then is not only an answer to our own question, but the answers to other people's questions. And we're sharing the information so that we're trying to be consistent. And this way, the agencies, who have a lot more to do than just talk to senators and representatives all day long, can focus. And they also know when something changes who the person is in the Senate to report it to so it can be disseminated. So we've come up with an efficient way to deal with this. But please do call, text, email me. I will try my best to help you through your difficulty in terms of the bureaucracy and the procedure. And a special shout out to our mayor and city council. It's one thing to be a legislator right now, but to be in an executive position, having served on our city council, I talk with Mayor Copeland regularly. I pray for him every day. We need to just continue to be good to each other and be grateful for our many blessings, because I just know everybody's hurting, and it hurts all of us. We hurt with you, but we are going to get through it. But let's continue to love each other.
Very well said. Representative Fincher.
Yeah, just to wrap it up, first, thank you to Phyllis 66 for sponsoring this, so we're actually able to talk to all of our constituents. Secondly, yes, keep contacting us. You can call the Capitol. You can email us. Our assistants are still working remotely. If they're not on the phone, they'll be able to pick it up because the phone is transferred to where they are. So contact us if you need help or assistance. We're trying to get information out to see how we can work. And thank you to everybody who's just pulling together, because this is Oklahoma and we're better together.
Indeed we are. Thank you very much, and I appreciate everyone being on the call today. I know you're very, very busy, but we certainly appreciate hearing from you each and every week right here on Capitol Calls. Take care, one and all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much so. And it's been brought to you by Phillips 66 on K1, the one you trust.
A lot happens over the course of a tank of gas. Mad dashes to the pharmacy, hours spent in the school drop-off line, and seven trips to the grocery store. Wait, I forgot the ice cream.